This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Some Marketplace listeners, myself included, are reading a free intro economics textbook this winter as part of our Econ Extra Credit series here on Marketplace. Why? Because I found that if I spend less time buried in my smartphone, I'd have the time to do stuff like this. Well, today, why are noses at the grindstone in America? With technology driving growth, you'd expect leisure time to free up. So why are we working all these hours? Juliette Shore is a Boston College sociologist. She's referenced in Chapter 5, so I thought I'd give Dr. Shore a call.
That labor-saving technology doesn't save labor, but in fact leads people to work much longer hours. And that's, I guess, a paradox.
Funny paradox, but the paradox starts to work itself out as societies get used to this technology-driven growth stuff. And working hours start to come down as we get into the 20th century?
Yes. So you have two big sort of movements. One is the labor movement, which fights back against really long hours, begins to fight for weekends off, originally Sundays and then Saturdays. The U.S., despite its long working hours today, was the first major country to have a two-day weekend. And there's also a kind of social welfare dimension to this, which is people pushing for an end to child labor and restrictions on women's work and so forth. So you have those two big movements, which basically lead to declining work hours from about 1870, 1875 in the United States until sometime after the Second World War, when as the country sort of starts to reestablish itself, you get a kind of change in the dynamics of working hours.
Yeah, because if one is French or Japanese or German, in modern times, the working hours are trending down. It's those Americans.
Right. So despite the fact that the U.S. led the decline in working hours, we got sort of everywhere faster than all of those European countries and Japan, the other sort of wealthy industrialized nations with whom most economists and social scientists compare. We flattened out after the Second World War, and everyone kept on that path of work time reduction. And then beginning in the 1970s, you start to see hours of work creeping up in the U.S., mostly because men's hours don't really fall much, maybe go up a teensy bit, but women's hours start to rise quite a bit.
Well, what would account for that, especially this divergence across nations?
Well, the conventional explanation is that it's worker choice which drives hours. And I think that's upside down. For the most part, hours are set by employers. Now, of course, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, what happens is when you take a job, there are hours that go with it, a kind of schedule. And if you have salaried hours, one of the things that happens is they creep up over time. You take a salary job, it has officially a 40-hour work week. I called it the elastic hours of the salaried worker. They start to go up. And I think the really big thing that has happened that has driven working hours is that employers have had increasing desire for workers to work long hours, in large part because of the per-person benefits costs that they pay. And workers haven't had the power to resist that upward pressure. And that's where the U.S. and Europe really differ, because in Europe, you still have unions. You have a lot more power on the side of employees than you do in the United States.
So the changing role of bargaining power and unions. But you just mentioned something that I had written down in preparation for talking to you. I was going to propose that if I ever became your graduate student, what I'd like to study is the fact that in the United States, we have healthcare that is attached to jobs, so that if you'd like to offer your workers fewer hours, you might have to hire two people, two healthcare plans. In Germany, they don't care as much. A German employer doesn't care as much.
Absolutely. And this is one of those major unintended consequences. Employers began offering health care during the Second World War when there were wage controls, so they couldn't increase wages to attract workers, and they were pretty desperate to get workers. So they started offering health care and so developed a system which tied health care to employment. Now, there are lots of bad things about that system, but one of them that I think is not well understood is that it has dramatically distorted what should be a market in hours. You know, in standard economic theory, workers have the ability to choose their hours. But if employers have a really strong incentive not to let people work short hours, then they're going to structure jobs in such a way that they are, you know, what I've called long hour jobs. So it's one of the aspects of a Medicare for All, for example, kind of scheme that doesn't get talked about much, but that we did hear a little bit of discussion of this during the discussion of the ACA, the idea that it was going to allow people to leave their jobs or to change jobs. And that is one of the silver linings of any healthcare system that delinks from employment.
But the preference of workers is still relevant at some level because we like to buy stuff in America. You've written a lot about consumption in America, and sometimes we work longer hours because we just have to have a nicer house, in our view, or a fancier car.
Yes, there's definitely some of that. But if you ask the question, sort of, what is the driving force in the relationship between hours of work and consumption? Is it that, and this is the standard view, workers' consumer desires drive their working patterns? Or is it that employers pretty much set working hours and consumers adapt to that and they spend the money that they get? The answer, I think, is the second. And the sort of consumer pressure has come more from the long working hours and high incomes of people at the top, which then sets in motion a kind of attempt to catch up from everybody below. So even in an era of growing inequality, which does fuel a kind of competitive consumption, the role of working hours is pretty central, particularly for that group that we've seen that has had the biggest increases in hours and also the bigger increases in income, which is sort of better off, more highly educated workers at the top 10, 15% of the distribution.
A lot of people listening are just thinking about their own lives. All this technology around us that supposedly streamline what we do at work, yet we're working really long hours. There's just there's an inherent irony in this if you had studied the underlying economics.
Yeah, it's a real collective action failure. We would be so much better off if we could all just slow down together.
Boston College sociology professor Julia Chor. Her forthcoming new book is called After the Gig, How the Sharing Economy Got Hijacked and How to Win It Back. Professor, thank you for this.
Thank you.